And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Pappy.
And this is our special guest. Interview is starting with, I'll be back in a second. I need to go grab a beer.
Yeah.
Who are the guys that we actually heard them getting wasted while we interviewed them?
Motiga. Yeah, the guys developing Gigantic. If you go back and listen to that episode, it starts off as a good interview, slowly devolves into a shit show, and ends as a fantastic interview.
Yeah.
That was the only time we ever had to edit out part of our show.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because we talked about some stuff that we had to fucking take out.
The guy made some Cosby jokes, and he's like, "We should probably cut that out." So if you listen to the show, it's like, "Oh, you could talk about whatever you want," and then some music plays, and then it just cuts to him going, "Yeah, we should probably cut out that Bill Cosby stuff." And that's how we handled the edit.
Yep.
So might as well start this. What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Pappy.
And wow, he introduced himself for real this time.
Because you made me.
No, I made you do it the other time.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Do you want to give us your joke?
No, it's over. I'll save it for next week.
Okay.
You're going to wait that long?
Yes. I've got a list of them.
Yeah. You're like, man, I can't wait until I unleash this one because it's going to be great.
Oh, you guys should wait until mid-February. There's a great one lined up. We have three guests on the show right now. Calling in from, I don't know where Metalhead Studios is located, but you can tell us. Guys, introduce yourselves.
Hey there. We're calling from an island off the west coast near Vancouver and Seattle. City called Victoria, nice little city. Metalhead Software, and there's three of us here. Myself, Scott, Christian here. We founded the company too long ago now. And Dan, one of our artists, is here.
Hello.
Yeah. How old is Dan? Is he like 84?
We don't even know.
Hello. How are you?
Hello, young children.
All right. So first question for you guys is, where are you going to relocate your studio when that megaquake hits the West Coast?
Yeah.
Aren't we underwater, actually?
Just going to get some scuba gear?
Yeah, we're actually totally screwed if the megaquake hits. We're in a building that's almost 120 years old, and we're like four stories up.
So you're just going to take scuba lessons and be prepared?
Yeah, I think we're just going to be buried under a pile of bricks, actually. So we're kind of counting on not being here right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much. That's our only chance.
Yeah.
So this is the Metalhead Software Memorial episode.
Yeah.
So Metalhead Software, you guys have just recently released a game. Would you like to tell us about the game before the insanity of the episode really and truly begins?
Sure. It's a lighthearted take on baseball, easy to jump into, pretty serious set of mechanics though. We'd like to think it has good controls and so on. Came out on PlayStation, last year, 2014, and we brought it to more platforms, including Xbox One and Steam, this year.
Yay, Xbox One.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo! Ric Flair is in the building.
Damn. I'm loving it.
This is a game I got to play a little bit of, but Chris has been really excited to have you guys on the show.
I am.
He loves this game.
It's fun. I was worried about if there was going to be a decent baseball game on Xbox One because they don't really get the licensing to the MLB stuff. So once I actually saw your game come out on Xbox One, I'm like, finally, a fucking, you know, an actual baseball game instead of RBI, because it's like RBI is just an arcade kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it's not that it's an arcade game. It's just a not good game.
Yeah, that too. I mean, I played it. It was okay. But I was glad to see like a more like simulation type baseball game, but it doesn't have to be. Like you said, you can kind of just hop in and just play it at whatever level you want. But if you really want to start digging deep, you can, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah, we were hoping that it would be something that people could pick up and you know, not have too hard of a time getting going with, but could still find a lot of sort of like depth, longer term depth in it, and you know, actually get really good at it and stuff.
I think it'd
be I'm the shitty gamer of our group, and I definitely enjoyed that, you know, the level that I could get in and still win a game based on my pitching, because I could not field for shit.
Thankfully, you really don't have to field unless you want to field, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, we figured that was, you know, just watching people. We did a lot of, like, sitting down with watching people that have no idea. Like it's funny, because a lot of our playtesting was with people who, like, don't play sports games at all. So they would sit down and just have no idea what's going on defensively. So we're like, okay, on easy, we're going to hold your hand quite a bit and until you figure out what the hell's going on.
It's actually pretty funny just how broad our testing was on that. I think that I brought in my sister's boyfriend, who is a Swiss farmer that has never held a controller in his life before. Like, he literally asked, which way do I hold the controller? I'm like, all right, here you go, man. Like, this is how you hold it. We'll put it on difficulty zero, whatever, ego zero. And, you know, that was kind of like our lower bar for who we wanted to be able to at least have somewhat of a good time with it. And then on the upper end, we figured, well, there's going to be people that are way better than us, so we got to make it harder than what we can actually play at. And that's how kind of the entire difficulty range evolved, is from, you know, hopefully everyone can play, including the guy that doesn't know how to hold controllers, up to some 14-year-old kid that's way, way, way better at Twitch games than we can ever hope to be. So
MLG, Super Mega Baseball.
Yeah, right?
Someday.
So speaking of the quality of the game, this leads perfectly into one of our two emails for you guys from Christopher. I'm butchering the last name, but Ungeier, I think. He says, the interview you're doing with those Super Mega Baseball devs, those guys are Canadian, right? I'd be curious as to how it feels to have the best baseball game on the Xbox One. I mean, it's got to be great if it's double the Metacritic score of RBI Baseball, and that's the actual MLB game. So how does that feel to have the best baseball game on the Xbox One?
I mean, it's not like Canadians don't have baseball.
Hey, we're close enough. We get a good injection of baseball enthusiasm, you know, being where we are. So, you know, it's not as popular as hockey, obviously, but I grew up playing it, and I guess the reason I have time to make video games of it is because I blew up my arm nice and young and had to figure out something else to do.
Right? So, dude, me too. Jesus Christ.
One out of three. Hey, did you know? I think the statistic, I don't remember where I read it, but this is super off topic from the question. We'll get back to that. But something like one third of pitchers that get it to make it to the college level, you know, if they're pitchers, one third of them end their career because of an injury of some sort. So yeah, pitching's not very good for you.
Yeah, I actually had a full ride to a university that was close to us and blew out my shoulder before I got out of high school.
And the huge difference is you blew out your shoulder and you're a video game developer. Chris blew out his shoulder and he's a fucking drummer.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. I blew out both shoulders like recently within the past 2 years and I'm still playing.
Yeah, and what are you doing this weekend, Chris?
Let's see.
To be fucking drumming.
I've got a show in Virginia, and then I have a show in Philadelphia, and then I have a show in New York, and then I have a show in Bethlehem.
There you go. Hey, drumsticks are light though, right? As long as you can sort of move your arms, you know, as long as you can move them quickly and at the right, you know, right rhythm, you're good, I think.
Yeah. Well, most of the stuff,
you are not a jazz drummer.
No, but. Yeah, I'm kind of a heavy hitter, but no, this was actually one of the reasons why I wanted to have you guys on specifically when I could make it, is because although I am a musician, the majority of the stuff that I have to play is like top 40s stuff, but where my heart really is, it's in metal. So I have to ask, with the name like Metalhead Software, how much of metalheads are you?
And this is where Pappy and I take our smoke breaks.
Yeah. Well, there's some significant metalhead behind that name. You know, we haven't been going to as many concerts and stuff as we did in our, like, you know, early to mid 20s and stuff. But some of my favorite bands would be like Opeth, Megadeth, In Flames, Dark Tranquility, Nevermore, Mastodon.
You're literally naming every fucking band that like influenced me for the past like 8 years.
Chris will be conducting the rest of this interview with an erection.
the grin on Chris's face right now, like I can feel it.
Dude, you have no idea. You have no idea. Cause, all right. So the main band that I spent a lot of my time with was a melodic death metal band, and we got compared to Old In Flames like constantly. So soon as you mentioned bands like Opeth and In Flames and Dark Tranquility, I'm like, these guys get it. Like,
Chris, what would you do if you named your band and they're like, oh yeah, we heard of them? Would you literally shit yourself right now?
Only a little. Because there's technically a possibility if you played Rock Band and downloaded stuff from Rock Band Network. That would be the only way.
We've got some. I mean, we haven't played Rock. How long has it been? No, was it Rock Band we were playing last year?
Rock Band 2 is what we played a shitload of.
Yeah.
Well so Chris, are you going to try?
What's it called?
Ethereal Collapse.
Okay. It doesn't jump out, but
if you dig stuff like that, like definitely give it a listen because you'll understand. You'll listen to it and be like, oh wow, yeah, there. It's pretty much like
yeah. No, after the podcast, ship it over and we'll throw it on in the office here and not do any work while it's on.
Perfect. It's funny because that's pretty much how I felt when I was playing it. No, But yeah, man, that's really cool. Cause the funny thing was like, so Joe tells me about this baseball game and I'm like, all right, cool. Baseball game. RBI sucks. I'm interested. So he tells like, so that he boots it up and it says like Metalhead Software. And I'm like, all right, great name for a company. Cool. Let's keep going. We get to the menu and I'm like, and I'm hearing the music in the background and I'm like, yo, this shit's ripping. Like these guys, like this is good. This is really good.
Yeah. So, yeah,
this was when just the demo was out, and we sat down and played the demo.
Oh yeah.
Oh, did you guys accidentally get a hold of the demo like way before it was supposed to be out, kind of situation?
When it like leaked out for a day?
Yeah, and it was way less than a day. It was like 2 hours.
Yep, we got it.
Maybe.
Oh, okay. That was an accident. That's on me. I screwed up the form.
Well, thank you for that.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Well, we appreciated it.
I'll say now, getting that demo absolutely sold me on the game. I think I bought it that night.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we screwed that up with our PlayStation release. Like we, you know, it was one of like a gazillion things that didn't get done. You know, I mean, we there was a lot of things we wanted to do in the game that we didn't get in there. But doing a trial right away was something that we had considered, and then we said, maybe not. But you'll probably see trials from us again.
Yeah, we've discussed that on previous episodes where developers who put out trials, they see a lot more purchases because people actually get to try the game.
I think there's like, I don't mean to take over the conversation. I think there's a lot of like, for bigger brands or games that are well-known brands, you know, maybe the trials don't work as well, like iterative titles or like bigger brands, you know, maybe the demos don't work, or $60 games, you know, maybe the trials don't work as well because people see it and they're like, it's good, but I don't know if I want to pay $60 for it or whatever. But for somebody like us where, you know, before this, nobody's heard of us, it's a total no-brainer. Like, you know, they have no idea what to expect. So just letting them get in the door and check it out is that definitely has worked pretty well for us.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're a new Assassin's Creed game, you don't want anyone to play it before you get their money.
Because it's probably not going to work.
Or it's like a half-hour demo and 40 minutes of that half-hour are spent loading.
Oh, yeah. Or you get like 40 minutes of gameplay when really it's like 10 minutes of gameplay and 30 minutes of cutscenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I figure before, we once again go off the rails, I do have a second email from you guys and it's fairly long. So I want to get that out of the way.
Do we even answer the first one?
They didn't answer the Canadian question.
We can answer that since we totally went off the rails. You guys asked us if, how it felt to be whatever the
most interesting baseball game.
So our answer is good.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yes, very
next.
Good. Yeah. We worked on it for like crazy long time. So like really, really long time. So if it, and you know, put it through a lot of friends and stuff. So yeah, we would have been pretty crushed if, you know, we weren't under any like, you know, we weren't under the time constraints that like other companies might be. And it's just, you know, we're definitely under financial constraints and so on. But, after all the time we worked on it and, you know, the amount of research we did into, to sort of like all the similar stuff out there, we expected that it would be at least, you know, we hoped it wouldn't suck. So, to see that people liked it was great. But it took a hell of a long time to make.
And you know, the thing is like when you set out to do this thing, it was never like, we had never really like set out to compete with any of the other games or anything like that. We just wanted to make an awesome baseball game. That was pretty much this. And it was super awesome to see that the people that are playing it or seem to like it, and that it's been as well reviewed critically as it has been. Like it's been amazing for us just seeing how well it has been, how well it's been received. Like
yeah.
every sort of review that comes out, every comment that gets written about it, you know, we look at everything that's out there and it's super awesome to see the community that's building around the game. So yeah, we've been just blown away by the reception.
Yeah. Yeah. Like whether it's games or music or whatever, you're looking at what's out there and trying to decide, you're going to do something yourself and you want it to be different in some number of ways, but you also want it to be inspired in other ways. And, you know, you have to hand pick those things that you want to be different. And, you know, we were just happy to see that the things that we did different, which was quite a few, for the most part, people liked that stuff. And even some of the stuff they thought was going to suck, like they're like, oh, okay, you know, that's actually, that works okay. After they found out or after they played it. That was cool.
Nice.
No, and that's great.
I was looking around to see if anyone else was going to say something, and Chris just pointed at me. He's like, you. I'm like, shit. Yeah.
Well, because you had the email.
Yeah, I didn't know if there was more coming or not, or if you had a...
No, I just want to say that, you know, it's great because you can always tell when they put, when a developer or any kind of artist really puts their own love and passion into something, you know. You can tell that you guys put in something, hey, we want to do this. This is what we like. We want to show people what we like, and you succeeded.
It was cool. I mean, there definitely was a lot of like, there was a lot of times where somebody would just have an idea and then, you know, it didn't have to go through a lot of layers of people to just be in. Like, Dan with us here, you know, he did a lot of the sort of animations and stuff and, you know your baseball more or less, Dan.
I mean, oh, yeah, I used to play when I was like 13.
Not like a super hardcore fan, but like enough to like, if you start looking at GIFs on the internet or, you know, like you can look at baseball and pull out some of the silly stuff and you know Dan was definitely behind a lot of the jokes and stuff in the game.
Was he behind
the umpire?
Yes,
the greatest umpire,
the greatest umpire to ever umpire.
Yeah, there he is.
Yeah. Okay, other email.
No, the umpire's the best part.
It really is. Like I played two games earlier today and the first one had like a normal umpire. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah. Oh, Mike.
That would be Mike, yeah. The all of the umpires in the game are people that are like there's no voice actors. It's like the people writing the code or like doing the art that we're like, we got to stay late tonight, record all the umpire voices. We got a couple cases of beer, and just did it all in one night.
That was a really fun night.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun recording. I guess we did it a couple times because we didn't do the right takes the first night. Yeah, we did it twice, but that was a lot of fun.
Well, the gravelly voiced mumbling umpire is the greatest thing that we've ever heard in games.
Dude, we were playing the demo and we're like keeling over laughing. We're like, this is fucking
incredible.
Hilarious.
This is just amazing.
That was the
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It was fun.
So
Dan and I guess we did 3 out of 4, and then Mike, one of our developers, did the other one. So yeah. No voice talent, just beer and, you know, desperation.
Which makes voice talent.
Yeah, that beer creates talent.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll get to this second email. It's kind of long. It is from friend of the show, Sean Lynch, Splink. He says, hello, SML crew and Metalhead Software. First off, I should probably note that I am by no means a baseball enthusiast. Being from Buffalo, our closest games are minor league team, which my family usually only goes to when we are in dire need of incredibly greasy food. Even in the gym classes of my school days, my time spent in the baseball units was dreadfully depressing and excruciatingly difficult to watch. I have attempted on many occasions to play MLB games, but they never really caught my interest or attention. That being said, Super Mega Baseball Extra Innings was easily the best baseball experience I have ever had. Its arcade-style gameplay reminisced of earlier sports games such as the Mutant League football series, and its mechanics were simple enough that even I was able to pick it up with ease. I have only put a little over an hour into the game into it thus far, but I can tell that this is Will, the type of, that's what he wrote.
Yay.
That this is Will, the type of arcade title that I can find myself going back to. For any listeners who may be unfamiliar with this game, though I doubt there will be any, wait, that sounds bad. I didn't mean that in terms of lack of listeners. I meant because you've most likely been talking about the game, especially with the developers on the podcast.
I feel like this is
Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah.
So,
anyway,
the
for
point
listen-
where you just gotta hit the send button, right?
You know? And this is all the shit that he wrote.
I believe it.
Anyway, for any listener who may be unfamiliar with the game, the best way I can describe it is a significant improvement on everything that didn't work in Wii Sports, culminating in an absolute blast of an arcade baseball game. The mechanics are simple enough for anyone to, next page, pick up,
fuck,
and the game is addicting enough that you won't want to put it down. Unlike the previously mentioned Wii Sports, seriously, everything about that game that wasn't bowling could burn in hell. Super Mega Baseball has a complexity to it that allows you to actually strategize and plan what pitch you want to do or how you would like your players to play the field. Seriously, the game is good. Since the developers have joined the podcast for the week, I feel this could be a good time for me to address my questions for them. That usually is a good
week. Yeah, maybe after the second page, sure. Yeah.
I guess the obvious one, if it hasn't already been asked, would be, where do you see yourselves going for your next project? Is your team planning on staying within the realm of sports games, perhaps making an additional sports Super Mega? To be bluntly honest, if future games retain the beautiful chemistry that Super Mega Baseball has, you guys could run the gamut of other sports titles. I'd certainly be excited to see what you guys could pump out, regardless of genre or style. I've gone on for a bit too long, but thank you guys very much for such an awesome game, and thank you, SML Podcast, for introducing me to such a great game as well. Best regards, Sean.
Yay.
Thank you for being self-aware, Sean.
Self-awareness is good. I wish a few other people would, Anyways.
So what do you think? Super Mega Hockey, Super Mega Football?
We're in that kind of like gray area right now where it's like, how much do we tell people about what we're doing right now? But,
Well, don't worry. No one's listening, so you can tell us everything.
Let's see. We're not like a big publisher. Like, oh, we're not going to tell people what we're doing because, like, at the end of the day, like, the more people know what we're doing, the better. But right now, the only reason we wouldn't want to say too much is just because we don't want to get people amped up on something that for whatever reason we don't finish when we think we're going to finish it or we don't get all the things in. It's just like when you're early in on something, you don't want to make too many promises because you don't know what direction it's going to head, I guess. But let's see. What can we say here?
I was going to say, nothing can break our hearts as much as the PHL Collective guys telling us that they had a prototype for a fighting game for the Kinect where you were old-timey gentlemen on top of a train with noodle arms slapping each other.
And then they did, they're not doing it.
No, it was a failed prototype. That hurts.
How did that fail? Yeah, I don't know.
So nothing could hurt more than that.
How do you study the commercial viability of that?
Apparently it was supposed to be some compilation Kinect title for the 360 that just never panned out because
you give me a game where I get to simulate slapping people and I'm in.
Noodle arms, old-timey people on top of a train. Like
they tried it and they're dead, so they can't make the game now, I guess.
They were trying to do mocaps on a moving train.
Technical difficulties, really.
So this is where Metalhead Software comes. Super mega train noodle arm fighting.
Yeah.
I would love to do something. Totally wacky.
So yeah, we had significant conversations about like doing a first person shooter. We actually wanted to do something different because when you look at the same game for 5 straight years, and when I say different, I mean like a different genre. Like we've always wanted to be sort of like a 2-game studio and have, the ability to flip creatively between a couple different spaces. And like the people that everyone here, I think we all like the, if you look at the type of games we play, it's all over the place. Like Dan here, you play Z all the time. And our main QA guy loves like JRPGs. He's like at home playing JRPGs right now, I would say. He took a vacation to play JRPGs, basically, I would say.
That sounds like a JRPG guy.
That's the shit I would do.
Oh, yeah, because you need 80 hours of free time.
Totally. Yeah, so, like, we're all over the place in terms of what we play, too. So I think, you know, we would have loved to do something totally different. But if we're talking about the next project, let's just say we decided to not do – we're not going to be doing something super wildly, like – there's going to be some similarities. Like we're not throwing out what we've done in its entirety. Let's put it that way. But yeah, we don't want to make any promises until we think we can actually do it.
Super ultra or mega or baseballier 2.
Yeah, that's what sucks about our name is like, you know, how do we make it sound better? There's like not really any room for more
now you just have to pull a Capcom and you have to do Ultra Mega Baseball and then Ultra Mega Baseball Tournament Edition
and then HD Remix.
Yeah.
Plus Alpha. You can always add the Plus Alphas.
And we can always borrow from the video card manufacturers. They've been fighting this battle for about 15 years of trying to make their new product sound more awesome by sticking more and more ejectives in front of it.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for someone to go the opposite route to, you know, so I get a game just called Face Shooter.
There you go.
No, then you go super meta and just be like, this is a game.
Yeah.
There's a game called This Is Not a Game. Did you guys know that?
No.
I did not know
that. Well, there you go.
It's pretty funny.
Well, then it's not a game.
Yeah.
But it's
they're
game.
Telling you it's not a game, so it's not
that's
a game.
What it claims to be.
You're going
to
trick us by asking us if we played it now?
No, I'm not.
Well, how do you play a game that's not a game?
You experience it.
Yeah.
We experienced the experience.
You guys are joking about that, but like, this is exactly, you're going to hear that set of lines like countless, you know, hundreds of times over the next year with all the VR stuff coming out.
Oh, dude, I can't wait.
Like, that's real marketing there pretty much for the next year. Yeah, I know. Me too.
I got myself one of those Oculus Rift. Oh, no.
I need to get one because I kickstarted an Oculus Rift thing, so I guess I should be able to play it.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yep. Yeah, we've dabbled with some dev kits. I love horror games, and I've found that playing horror games in VR is like, it's a bit too much. Like, it's crossing a line of a sort.
You gotta, horror.
A little more clearly.
Horror.
I was going to say, that's horror games he's saying there.
Okay. No. Horror games are definitely supposed to be...
Well, I mean, horror games are coming to VR. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
We're really homing in here on, like, what the VR thing is about.
Yeah.
I think my sentence would have been, like, equally relevant if...
Yeah.
It's true either way. Yeah,
porn and scares. That's what VR is for.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be half porn.
Half?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty generous, like, just to be like, it'll only be half.
I'm with you, though. I'm with you. I get to play a game this weekend. I'm going to try and do my first ever Twitch stream, and I'm going to do Layers of Fear, and I'm just so excited to play that game.
Yep.
Like, it looks
I haven't tried that one yet, but Layers of Fear, eh?
My brain is thinking Super Mega Hentai Simulator.
More tentacles.
No, the first level is just one of those body pillows.
Yeah, the tentacles come later. That's the expert difficulty.
Or be normal to unlock the tentacles.
Yeah. It'd be a fun one to take to the ratings agencies. We started with E. And
how the fuck did we get an E10 rating?
As an artist, that would be the funnest game to work on.
Quote unquote artist.
Yeah.
As an artur.
Well, all right. Well, speaking of art, what led you guys to make the game look so colorful? Like, so, you know, everyone is. Let's try and do this again.
Words? Take the dick out of your mouth, Pappy.
Everyone looks kind of ridiculous, and in a good way. It's awesome. You know, everyone's body shape is just over the top.
Yeah.
And they have tiny little legs.
Yep. You know, we wanted to do something that looked a little different. You know, it was one of those things we decided to try to take a little different, a little more unique route with. And we tried a few different things, though we didn't iterate on it a lot because we simply didn't have the time and budget. This was our first game, and you know, we kind of came up with was sort of the first thing. We're like, hey, we like this. It's fun and it's different. Let's go with it. Though we did run in, you know, just like the umpires, the art was one of those things where it's pretty different from the norm. And whenever you do something like that, it tends to be a little bit more polarizing. So we saw even with the umpires, people either love them or they're like, that is ridiculously obnoxious. Don't ever do that again. and it's like the same thing with the art. You kind of get love or hate with it a lot of the time. So,
liked it though because it made it more approachable.
Sure. Right.
And,
sure.
And the thing is we kind of because we're not a licensed game, and it gives us a lot more freedom, right? Like, we can have a lot of fun with the art style, and we can kind of make all the jokes that you can't really do if you're officially associated with anyone. And you kind of see that reflected in the game and the art style as well, where we exaggerate things and we kind of poke fun at things. And, you know, a lot of it was designed like, hey, if we're all sitting around and like laughing at something, then it's probably good. And that's what we're going to do. So it was. Was it funny? What did we like it? Was it kind of, you know, out of the ordinary? Yeah, let's do that.
Totally.
It worked. It worked for me.
My brain is just now it's imagining Super Mega Football being the spiritual successor to NFL Blitz.
Oh, yeah. That would be fucking awesome.
We're just feeding you guys any ideas. Feel
that's
free
where to. My we brain got, goes from got, hentai to football.
Yeah, we've heard a few requests for football by now, and some of us like football a lot, in addition to JRPGs, so
ooh. <you know. laughs> Football JRPG.
Super mega JRPG football.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there is a Kickstarter for Mutant League Football now.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yep, totally. There was all the talk of the Joe Montana game as well, and then the Mutant League Football. They did the one, the Mutant League game. They did the one Kickstarter. And I don't think it flew. But they're still working on it though, and it's I think they showed it somewhere recently. And
yeah, it was the football version because that's just like I think there's only one or two guys working on it, and the one guy is the original guy that made it for the Genesis.
Yeah, exactly.
I think.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be awesome. I hope they get that done because I also adored those games as a kid.
NHL Hits could be Super Mega Hockey.
Yo, NHL Hits.
Plus, you're
amazing.
Canadian.
Yeah.
I don't want to be racist, but you are Canadian.
I don't want to be racist. Wait, so yeah. If you
Super
guys.
Super Mega Racquetball.
If you guys are Canadian, do you know who Big Rec is?
Who? Big Rec. I don't think so.
That makes me sad. You should check them out. They're really good.
Oh, bat music.
He's back to music now.
Well, listen, okay. Big Rec is like, even though they're not metal, I'll prerequisite with that. They're not metal. However, I guess they're kind of like dad rocky, but they're all fucking incredible at their instruments. Like Ian Thornley is a god on guitar. So if
Big Rec is also a really good name for a male porn star.
I'll keep that in mind actually when I need a different name to go under as an alias.
B- Big Wreck will be in Super Mega Hentai Simulator.
Yes, a bonus character.
Unlockable.
All right.
Unlockable stunt cock.
You guys are just, we got everything we need for the next game after this conversation here, I think.
I want a special thanks in the credits.
Yeah, that's all. We don't need money. We just want public admission that our ideas helped.
Yeah. Or just like put us in the game or something.
Well, yeah. Don't put me in Hentai Simulator.
Oh, no, I want to be in that one.
I've seen enough hentai to know where this is going.
Doesn't matter.
You're going to need some reference art.
I mean, if you need somebody to give you the expert opinions on your art, yeah, just let me know.
Yeah. Pappy has a PhD in hentai.
He got it at his local community college.
I'm trying to make a snappy, witty retort, but I'm just sitting here like, yeah, I watch way too much.
Oh, my God.
So, football or baseball.
Football God or damn. Baseball or fucking sports.
Super mega sport.
That's what, there you go. Super mega sports. Just pick like all the really weird ones like badminton and fucking like shuffleboard.
Super mega shuffleboard?
I will say though, the PlayStation sport thing that the disc golf was actually kind of fun.
Oh, the PlayStation Move one.
Yeah.
I played that once.
I enjoyed the disc golf. The archery was stupid, but I'm not a fan of archery, real or imagined.
Yep. I hope we see some more, like arcade sports and sort of just the whole sports genre is kind of, it's like mostly just the big guys these days.
Yeah, and that's why you guys are great, because you're right. It's almost like the only sports you get is the licensed stuff now. And, you know, none of the smaller studios wanted to compete with it. But you guys just proved again that not having to worry about a license actually gave you a lot more freedom to make a good game.
Yeah, and it's a shame that, not a lot of indies and stuff are working in sports. There's more, like, there's a few now and stuff, but there's just not... sports are, when I was a kid, that was like, you know, a huge percentage of the games you could buy were sports games, and they were really fun. And now they're just, I feel like the genre isn't quite as popular. Maybe like from a business standpoint, and it's still just as popular in terms of how many people buy sports games and so on, but there just isn't as much stuff out there. There's not as many types of games.
Take the success and run with it, because I know even a lot of people, they buy that Madden or the NCAA every year, and they just complain about it. They're like, I need it. I get it because I want to play with my friends, but if there were a better alternative, I would jump ship in a heartbeat.
Well, and the other thing that's interesting about doing your own version of it is because you're not trying to mimic what's actually happening in that sport. You never have to worry about roster differences. You never have to worry about any of that kind of shit that would make it a yearly type of thing where you have to put a new one out to update the game, which I still never really understood why they can't just do like a Madden every 2 years and just like the 1 year in between, they just put out a fucking update to the game.
Well, that's all they do with the new Madden. They make the money. That's why they don't do it your way.
Because that means they can't sell Madden that year.
Well, yeah, but still.
I actually used to work at Electronic Arts and on sports games, and it was we had a lot of artists who were like really kind of a little burnt out on doing art for sports games, because basically as an artist we were spit polishing last year's version and then shipping it. Like in our perspective, that's exactly what was happening, and that doesn't happen here, thankfully.
Yeah, it's fun to, you know, that's something like when we sit down and think about doing licensed stuff too, like that is one of the toughest things about it is there is a ton of work there that's just like by default part of the product, because you're trying to stay in tune with this other thing. And you know, not to say that, like, obviously people like licensed sports games, and there's a, you know, that does add value to the game for a lot of people, but it's, you know, from the perspective of making it, there's definitely some challenges there.
So do you think the licenses are what's holding bigger sports titles back from being better?
Well, yeah, you know, I one of the tough things for them is they've got, you know, they're in the position. I mean, their big they're just very successful at this point, and they're in a position where it's pretty tough to change stuff. They've got huge complex products and like established fan bases, and it's really difficult to go change something because, you know, there's a huge risk that for every person that says, I like this change that you made, you know, there's going to be someone that says, hey, why'd you change that? That's stupid. I like the way that it was last year. And that's just the nature of like a really mature product that's been around for a long time. But that's why there needs to be like more than one company making games.
Yeah, and don't forget too, you're also at the behest of the license holder. They can just straight tell you to, no, we don't want what you worked for 6 months to put into the game.
Yeah, and you know, like in what you're saying, I think is like, I don't know what we're a tiny company compared to those guys. I mean, we're like, you know, one or two orders of magnitude smaller than anyone else making this kind of stuff. Like if you look at a team that's making a game like the show, there are 100 times more people than we are.
Maybe not 100 times more, but a lot
that,
more.
In that kind of neighborhood, and total people that are working on it, and the expectation that the customer has out of the visual fidelity is really, really high. So I like when I look at what they do, they make a game that looks absolutely gorgeous on every aspect. It's so, so beautiful all around. And every year people have an expectation that it's going to look better than it did the year before, because that's what the expectation is of these big sports titles. So those guys, they have to work on trying to improve their product visually while at the same time updating their rosters and making sure that the thousands of players that they're trying to represent look as realistic as possible, right? Like that alone is such a huge amount of work, like a problem that they have to deal with. And like everyone appreciates, because people love like, you know, seeing their players in the game and seeing the real guys like represented accurately. But just the amount of work that they have to put into this is just staggering. So I think that is part of it. Like there's just so much that the AAA studios have to put into accurately representing the stadiums and the players and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, we can totally empathize with the situation that a lot of those studios are in. It's like, but there just needs to be, like, there's got to be, you know, more agile, smaller studios trying to do their own thing too, because that's who has the most freedom to play with new ideas.
Yeah.
And you guys are the ones pushing the new ideas, and I appreciate that.
Cool.
Innovate.
Yeah.
I honestly think the biggest thing holding back sports games from being as fun as they used to be when we were kids, because admit it, if you picked up baseball or football on the NES or Super Nintendo, you had a blast with it.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
you sure.
Get a 50-yard.
You fuck Tecmo Bowl. Fuck that stupid ass fucking game. It's bullshit. You cannot kick a field goal from the fucking 50-yard line.
But he did.
No. Fucking no. No.
Kick a field goal from the 50-yard line. I think you could throw the ball from your own end zone to like the opponent's 10, like all the way. You could just throw it from end zone to end zone if you wanted, couldn't you? Tecmo Super Bowl, I think it was.
Yeah, you just drop back all the way into your own end zone and then throw it, and they catch it in the other end zone.
Just throw it to Jerry Rice, and as long as he's still running and he can jump, it's a touchdown. Yeah.
Yeah, but I honestly think the biggest problem with sports games today is they're too realistic.
Yeah, I agree.
I think simulation and realism is what has hurt the sports genre. Every game, you know, you need to have a perfect replica of the stadium, you know, poor perfect facial recognition technology, and, you know, you need the perfect stats and perfect this and perfect that, but the games just aren't fun because they're too real.
Well, and let's face it, Ben Roethlisberger is a pretty ugly guy. I don't want to see him poor perfect on my TV.
But Troy Polamalu's hair was fantastic.
Dude, honestly, even you brought up like Slugfest and Hits and like those midway sports games, those were like the only sports games that I really got into.
Because they focused on fun instead of realism.
Mm-hmm. No, the gameplay was at the forefront and it was the most important part of it.
Yeah, and I get that, you know, people want super realistic games, but personally, I'd rather go back and play Super Action Football on the Super Nintendo than Madden 16.
Hey, that's all like totally true. And like, I actually agree. Like, I mean, I haven't been playing sports games I haven't played a lot of AAA sports games, you know, as an adult in quotes, because it takes a little too long to get into for me, and I like a little shorter experience, and I need something that like my friends can get into really quickly. Like, I want friends to be able to sit down beside me on the couch and we can figure out what we're doing in an hour. And you know, that's something that I think like the AAA games don't necessarily allow. And you know, and the realism slows the pace down, and there might be stuff that's in there, not because it's fun, because it's more realistic. All of that's true. But you know, like, part of it is just that has turned out, no doubt part of the reason why that's the way things are is because that's easier to sell.
Yeah.
We can figure out how to sell sports games that are built from, you know, more of the perspective of like just being fun without trying to meet these other goals, then that situation will go away. But you know, that's just kind of historically what has worked.
Yeah. I think when Chris and I were first playing the demo of your game, I think I could have given you guys the highest praise I ever could when I said it feels like I'm playing the Ken Griffey games on the Super Nintendo. Because to me, those games were perfection in terms of baseball game, because it was real enough to think that you're actually, wow, I'm really playing baseball, but it was still fun and easy to play. And what Super Mega Baseball reminded me of.
Yep.
I don't care about pitch count. I don't care that my catcher didn't sleep well last night. Don't
it's like,
I hear you.
What the fuck is it in the new NBA game where it's like you grow up from the hood to become a new and like, I don't just let me play goddamn basketball.
Oh God, really? Face capture.
It's a Spike Lee joint, though.
Basketball doesn't need to be a Spike Lee joint. I just want to shoot a fucking ball into a basket. That's it.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, you know, people.
Super Mega Basketball.
I don't totally understand.
Super Mega Basketball.
People love it, though. I mean, that, you know, we've definitely learned some things about what people like and what they don't like and stuff. And you know, we're tiny and so on still, and doing something different, but. You do learn why things are the way they are, for sure. And, you know, they're doing some things different there than everybody else. And a lot of people like it. And, that kind of style of thing isn't for me. And I'm glad that there are people out there that want a more kind of like streamlined experience. But, different strokes, I guess, for everybody.
Yeah. So there's definitely something about the game we need to tackle. And I'm sure this is where Chris is going to be happy. Tell us about the soundtrack for the game.
This is an easy one. It's recorded in the same 8-foot by 6-foot corner of my basement as where Christian and I started actually coding the game by a good friend of mine. And a couple of the tracks he had whipped up before, but some of them, like the one you hear in the intro and then in the title screen, both those tracks are, they were just recorded, in my basement on like pretty basic gear. Played my guitar. I used to want to be good at guitar, but then I started doing this and didn't have time to actually continue to improve at guitar. But, they're like, all by one friend. He played the guitar and his name's Nigel Whiting. And,
his name's Nigel. He's going to be good at guitar.
There you go. But the guitar, bass, all that, the drums are all sequenced. I don't think we recorded any of that on real drums. I don't know if you can tell or not, but,
Sure. But, the majority of time now, like even with the stuff that I end up doing, like it's all sampled, but I just play it live with an electronic drum kit.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's more than adequate for most recordings nowadays.
Yeah, hey, it's all so much easier now, right? Because, like, man, just the gear these days, it's like you can get, you know, like a really nice recording set up for a few $1,000s, whereas that was like not even something you could imagine having, period, before, right?
Oh yeah.
That's
no,
cool.
and I actually like that, because now, you know, you've got these instances where there's a lot of people that could potentially be putting out like the next great record. You never really have to worry about like them essentially quote unquote being discovered, because they could just upload it online and it's just up to you to dig and find it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So is the soundtrack for the game going to be available to purchase at all?
We've talked a little bit about doing that, and maybe we should, because I know there's a few people that would like it. Nigel's actually a guy, so he has a full-time like engineering job. I think he's like crazy talented, and you know, I was like, man, you should like do music for games, like, you know, if not full-time right away, you should have a shot. But anyone out here listening that makes games that wants some good music, let us know. Nigel needs to be convinced to do some more games music, I think. I've always thought, and many of his friends always thought, that he's just great at coming up with really original licks and stuff. And
Because we love the soundtrack for it, and I'm still hoping I could beg you guys for some songs so we could play at the end of our show.
I think we could arrange that for sure.
Sweet.
Yeah, totally. He's got a really interesting, like, he's like the perfect guy. This is totally not about video games at all, but he's like the perfect guy to record audio for video games, because his process is like, he'll record the gist of the song, like drums and bass, and then start playing his guitar riffs over top of it. But he's the type that, he's such a perfectionist. He will loop the song and obsess over every single riff to the point where, like, if there was a riff in there that would get boring on the 20th listen, he's listened to it 600 times and absolutely hates it, and he will continue to attempt to replace it until he finds a loop that passes his 600 obsessive, like, listens test, resulting in a song that is, like, you know, the most loopable song in the universe. I'm not going to admit how few minutes of music there are in Super Mega Baseball, but there's a reason that music, for the most part, you know, doesn't get boring. That's because Nigel's put it through. I don't know. He's like gotten significantly older listening to his own music.
No, and that was the one thing that I noticed about it, because, like, you know, you take older games that have great soundtracks, and it's what, you know, you a minute and a half or 2 minutes of a thing, and it just loops and loops and loops and loops, but you don't care because it's good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There's some different, like, element of awesome in music there, where, like, you know, there's the chorus or the bridge that at its peak, it's like the best thing you ever heard. But, like, for something like a game where you're hearing a lot of music, that's actually not necessarily the most important thing. It's more important that the 50th listen is just as good as the second one.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I know I look forward to the end of every game in Super Mega Baseball, when it's just that, like, heavy double bass pounding, like, you, Chris was the first time he heard it, he's like, this is fucking brutal.
Yeah, it was, was it the home run? I think it's on the home run, isn't it?
It's the end of the game, like, when it shows the final score, where it's just, like, double bass pounding.
Yeah, won the game.
Yeah, I know. That's a super old one. I bet you he recorded that, like, in his underwear at 4 o'clock in the morning when he was like 22 or something like that, like way back. But
dude, and you know what? And that's when, like, the best stuff fucking comes out, man. Like, it really is. Really is.
Yeah, for sure.
You get a lot of, like, musician guys where it's just like, yeah, I've got like 40 files on my computer, all riffs that I came up with, like, while I was half asleep on fucking NyQuil or something stupid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, totally.
I'm so, like, oh, I forgot I had this. I should use this.
So Pappy has a question that he likes to ask every developer we talk to. Pappy, you want to take this?
Yeah. My favorite question to ask is, you know, you said you spent 5 years working on this game, right?
Hmm.
So when you're not obsessing over your own game, what games do you guys like to kick back and relax and play?
I got a huge list, but I've been talking too much. So how about you guys jump in?
We've been playing a little bit of Rocket League in the office.
Yeah!
Rocket League's pretty fun. I've also been playing, I picked up the other day Transformers Destruction.
It is Devastation.
Awesome. Devastation, yeah. That's it. It's like the Generation 1 Transformers, so it's not on this Michael Bay bullshit. It's fucking awesome. I had, like, such a good time playing that. And then, of course, I have about almost 1,000 hours of DayZ.
Yep.
Holy crap.
Jesus.
Yeah. So I'm more into the, like, simulation stuff. I've got about 500 hours into Civ 5 now. I think I'm well above that on Civ 4.
I've been playing quite a bit of Planetary Annihilation. That's a game I was actually super excited for. You guys ever played? Were you guys around when Total Annihilation came out, like way back 98 or whatever?
No, but Planetary Annihilation. Tim was talking about it a lot.
So you know, like Total Annihilation, in my opinion, was like one of the best games ever made. Maybe it's because I don't know. At that time, I was a kid, and I thought it was amazing. And I guess Planetary Annihilation is kind of the spiritual successor to it. And I think technologically it's mind blowing. And with the very latest iteration, it fixed a lot of the gameplay issues. So I enjoy that quite a bit. So I play a lot of RTS. I played way too much Warcraft 3. I played way too much Starcraft. So that's the kind of stuff that I play.
Are your Zergs and your Orcs all?
Oh, I play random. I always play random.
Charge of their lasers.
StarCraft was the last RTS I played, like StarCraft 1.
Yeah. So.
Quake 3 was my favorite game of all time, and actually, that's the one that made me want to make games for a living. Made like Quake maps when you could, like, you know, when they had the tools available right away when they released the game. That got me into game development, honestly, on its own. Playing some Cities Skylines right now. The Last Deus Ex was one of my favorite games of the last gen.
Love Super Meat
Boy. Oh, I can't wait for the new one.
Oh, yeah. Super Meat Boy is one of the
best
games.
Super Meat Boy is rad.
That's amazing. And the other thing that needs to be mentioned here is Geometry Wars. Another one of my absolute all-time favorite games. That's like, that to me is the ultimate Twitch mechanic game. It's so simple, but so addictive.
I actually like, what was the name of the indie version of?
Polychromatic.
So there's this game on Xbox One called Polychromatic, and it pretty much is like a Geometry Wars kind of thing, but it was a little bit, I don't know, it was a little bit easier to focus in on, and it I don't know, streamlined a little bit better, in my opinion.
Simplified, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
A little less visually busy. Maybe.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier to kind of like get to the higher levels because you can actually see what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. The other chaos is kind of what appealed to me about Geometry Wars, all part of it anyway.
Oh, there's still plenty of chaos in Polychromatic.
You start getting up to, like, you know, a couple levels in, and you're like, okay, I'm feeling the burn.
That shit doesn't hold your hand at all.
No.
Right.
So if you have an Xbox One, check that one out. That's pretty
good.
I do,
yeah. Cool. Yeah. Okay.
Dead Space 1, everybody gives EA shit, but Dead Space 1 was... That was a masterpiece.
Listen,
you know, as much as I wanted to love that game, I couldn't get over the third person over the shoulder view. I kept trying to get my own character to duck out of the way so I could see the rest of the screen.
I don't like that either.
Yeah.
I just love it. I'm actually like a huge fan of a certain game that EA published. And that's the Skate series.
Oh, I love that game. K3 is amazing.
Yeah. I'm still holding my breath and hoping that before I die I'll see a Skate 4.
I don't think it's gonna happen, man. It didn't sell very well.
Well, there's Project Blank or something like that. I forget the name of it.
I don't know.
There's one of the developers for the first or the second Skate is putting out like a spiritual successor to Skate. He's been working on it like completely on his own for like the past couple of years now.
Do you know what his name is? I used to work with those guys.
Let me see if I could Google this, because I want to say it's like Project Session or something like that. Like, let's see.
I think Skate 3 is the only reason I still own a PlayStation. Like, I would have thrown it out by now.
Project Session.
Yeah. Let's see here. Project Session.
By Creature Studios, 5 people on Unreal Engine 4. Yeah. And the nice thing about doing it from a PC, doing this thing from a PC is, oh, hey, I need to look up something.
And Chris is still looking it up on his own.
They have their own subreddit. So it's literally like you could just go to our Project Session and it's a bunch of stuff. Oh my god!
I'm gonna check that out,
dude. It looks really good. It looks really, really good.
I've skated for 25 years, and now I'm too old to do it. So
right, dude. That's why I liked Skate 3 so much.
Did you guys subject yourselves to the new Tony Hawk game?
No.
It's bad. Don't do it.
All right.
Just that's it. That's our review.
It's bad. It's bad.
I'm pretty sure the skate games are coming to backwards compatibility for the Xbox One.
That will hold me over until Project Session.
That'll alleviate the pain a little bit.
The best part about the new Tony Hawk game is watching all of the YouTube fails.
It's watching all the glitches, like the skate glitches, but these you watch because it's just kind of sad funny, where skate, it's awesome funny.
This is a render for Project Session, and that's like alpha.
Nice.
Yeah. Dude, I can't wait. I need it in my life, like right now.
Yeah, Chris, you got any more questions for these guys?
You know, we do have guests on.
I know. Well, you got me distracted with Project Session. Because I just wished...
No, you distracted yourself when somebody else said the word EA.
Yeah, I know. I can't help it. Skate... The only reason why I held on to my 360 as long as I did was for Skate 3.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, only reason why I had that system. So if that doesn't come to backwards compatibility, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be really pissed. Especially when Tony Hawk 5 came out and everybody realized how fucking terrible it was. All of a sudden, all the skate games showed up like at half off or something like that on the Xbox Live store.
Yeah, I think they'll be backward compatible.
So yeah, any more questions for these guys, Chris?
I can't help it.
Four guys huddled around one microphone.
Chris.
That's getting sweaty over here.
We're cuddling.
So you said you don't really make it out to too many concerts now, but what was the last concert that you did make it to?
Oh God, I don't remember. I've been going to like festival shows, like, but my last three have been kind of larger ones, and they've been more like kind of like rock spanning like folk festivals, just because that's where my friends go. But I haven't wrecked myself at a metal concert in a while now. Which reminds me, we should do that sometime soon here, Christian.
I know, it's actually there's a show. We just learned that Cryptopsy is playing at Commodore tomorrow.
Cryptopsy is a good time.
Yeah, we were contemplating going to. This is my girlfriend and myself. She is also falls in the metalhead category. But we decided against it. So.
Oh.
I was still really upset that I didn't get to see Fear Factory and Cold Chamber, because I would have loved to see Fear Factory. Cold Chamber would have been like, okay, but
they're coming here. This month, I gotta see about that.
I still haven't seen Fear Factory live yet, and I want to.
I see Fear Factory twice. Both times they're a good time. Cold Chamber.
I've been enjoying like kind of the operatic metal a lot too, and I really want to see Epica. Are you guys familiar with?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So they never come to Canada. The closest I have to go to Seattle, and last time was really inconvenient when they came by, but they tour a lot, so I'm really hoping that they'll come close by here again.
There's a lot. I'm still like so backed up on bands that I've been wanting to see. I still haven't seen Opeth, and I had two opportunities to see them.
I missed them too, but I can still go see Deftones.
Right.
Nice.
What do you guys feel about like Opeth's new direction? I mean, I absolutely love Opeth, but you know,
now here's the thing. I'm absolutely in love with it, and it's mainly just because at a certain point I know that if I was in that band and I was playing that stuff for that long, eventually, like, and Mikhail's pretty much said, like, I'm not writing the kind of stuff that makes me feel like I need to scream anymore.
Right.
But he said, I mean, he did say, like, if it calls for it, he'll do it, but he doesn't see it being likely.
Right.
I'm perfectly okay with it, because whenever I don't hear him scream, I'll just go back to when he was in Bloodbath.
Yeah, totally.
And I'll just be like, yeah, that's the Mikhail I know.
Yeah. Like, we've been to a few concerts when they were kind of doing their heavier stuff, and those were awesome. And then I saw, you know, we went to shows of his newer albums, and it's just not quite the same thing to see it live. Or his newer thing, it's not quite what I was looking for. Opeth live, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't love their new direction either, but I totally get why they're trying to do something a little different. It's like, I don't really know how you improve on, like, can they top Still Life in Blackwater Park? I doubt it.
Probably not.
Well, you guys are talking about bands getting older. It's a different genre, but I saw Offspring here a couple months ago, and I had to laugh because they're still, I mean, they're still the same band I remember. They, you know, they're still really good live, but yeah. They all look like grandpas. Yeah. Straight up. Like, their bellies and their chests are all, like, the same distance now. Like,
they've
got that old man look going on.
I mean, with Opeth in particular, though, I mean, like, the whole reason why I enjoyed Opeth as long as I did is because they've always incorporated that mellow kind of stuff to it. So once they started going the realm of just the mellow stuff, like, I am starting to reach a certain point with my, you know, musical taste that I can appreciate a really well-written song over, like, just a sheer brutal song for the sake of being brutal. Because I could find other bands that will fill that void for me. Like, there's specific bands that I listen to just because of how heavy they are. And that's it. But every once in a while, I feel like I could find those bands that I know I'm going to get, like, a really well-crafted song out of. And Opeth is that band.
Right.
At least one of those bands.
Once you listen to a particular genre so much too, like, there's just, you're only going to hear so much that's like, that's actually kind of new to you and blows your mind.
Oh yeah. Well, that's even with, like, what was it? The new At the Gates that came out, like, earlier this year or last year or something like that. So yeah. Everybody else is like, oh, I don't like it. It's, you know, it sounds pretty much exactly like their old album. And I'm like,
that's what you fell in. That's what
yeah.
You fell in
I'm like, that's,
with, right?
That's why I like it. Cause it sounds yeah. like Slaughter of the Soul Part 2. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Like, it just, it makes sense, you know? And in certain bands, like, you know, you'll listen to those bands because of those reasons, but then you do get those bands that really take an artistic approach to it and go, all right, well, we're going to switch things up a little bit, and if you like it, cool, come along for the ride. If not, just listen to the old albums.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to tie this back into games. You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready? Just like in music, in video games, even if you have a favorite genre, it's always good to stretch out once in a while and see what's going on in other places.
This is very true.
Here we go. Did it. Proud of myself.
Not just playing, too, but making them. It's nice to go look at what everybody else is doing as well.
Yeah, you know, because I think our two favorite games recently have both been sports games, even though none of us are big sports gamers. You know, it's yours. And then, Joe, would Clusterpuck 99 count as a sports game?
Sort of.
It's air hockey, technically.
It's kind of like shuffleboard.
It's like versus shuffleboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah,
it's like soccer shuffleboard.
Although I don't think they went for the official
genre,
shuffleboard,
you know,
license either.
Talk genre. I play Halo, Dragon Age, Fallout. Like, I'm pretty big on those AAA titles, and then for everything else, horror games and you know, the little stuff. But is it to, if you told me 3 months ago, dude, you're one of your two favorite games recently are going to be very sports-oriented, or at least competitive games, I would have been surprised.
That went nowhere.
Dead silence.
I was trying. I was trying to do the cricket thing, and it didn't work.
Yeah,
we need Norga.
So,
we
yeah.
need Norg.
Sports.
Dude, that's the best part. In this episode, we don't have to go video games. We just go sports.
So what kind of sports are you guys into? Like, real world sports?
Well, baseball has to be my favorite from a, you know, I grew up with it standpoint, and it's kind of like my life now in a lot of ways. I think about it all day, but speaking for myself here, because like I said, we got people here from all sorts of backgrounds. We're not necessarily like a bunch of sports bros. Not at all, in fact. But I love hockey as well. I love football. Those are probably the top three for me.
I never cared for team sports growing up, even though I did play baseball. So I got into skateboarding when I was about 7. And I didn't stop. I still haven't stopped, really.
You always, once you get into skateboarding, it's pretty much like you never get rid of your board because you're like, yeah. One day.
Skate like once a month or yep. once a few months.
And you ride up and down the driveway and you're just like, that was fun.
This is a slightly more efficient mechanism of transportation.
It is. I skated to your house yesterday.
Yeah, there you go.
I got there the same time that you guys could drive there.
Yeah. So, yeah. There you go.
That was fun. Good for exercise.
So, right. We keep having these silences going on.
Yeah.
So, all right. I think on that note, we need to start discussing what we've been playing. It's up to you guys if you want to stick around or if you want to go de-sweatbox yourselves.
I think we've been on here for, it's 6:40.
Yeah,
we should probably run pretty quick here, yeah. We're going to, this is like the upper limit of our, this is as much as we can entertain in a real-time session. We need to,
That's okay, we're not entertaining either. That's why we have guests on, because our show is fucking terrible.
Thanks for being on, man. I know Chris especially was excited. I finally got to spend some time with your game last week, and then that got me excited. So, we definitely been looking forward to having you guys on.
I guess, ship us some music recommendations. I need some new stuff.
I'm okay with that.
My music recommendations suck. I just listen to shit like Rise Against and Breaking Benjamin. Chris,
I listen to Scott work because most of my coworkers don't like it, but I outrank them.
Chris makes fun of everything I listen to. Like, I'll pick a band in Rock Band. He's like, God, this is fucking terrible.
Well,
I can understand their lyrics.
That's not true. I'm not that bad.
Close.
No, I'm not that bad.
18-year-old you would have been that bad, though.
Not true. I definitely wasn't as narrow-minded when I was younger. I'm starting to broaden my horizons more.
Anyhow, back to our good
guys. But we do thank you for coming on. It has been a blast having you guys on. We are all huge fans of the game. Everyone that we have talked to is a huge fan of the game. I actually started watching a streamer on Twitch because he was streaming your game, and he did one of our favorite things in the game, which was bean someone in the fucking head, which is that's got to be the greatest animation in the game.
Not to mention the sound is so satisfying.
It's such I wish it didn't drop your ego, because when you intentionally do it a whole bunch, that should boost it up.
Sometimes this is a secret, but it sometimes boosts it. It's actually not always a negative.
See,
for the batter.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Not for the pitcher.
Yeah, I guess the pitcher.
For the pitcher, it's always down.
Yeah. See, so we had to have some negative incentive there, otherwise people would just do it all the time.
Well, you put someone on base. That's the negative. But like, if you're getting pissed, like you just gave up a run and you're pissed, you want to bean someone.
Yeah. Totally.
And I, he kept doing it, and I would cheer in the Twitch chat every time, and he eventually just called it the Joe Cam special. And the one night he was streaming it, he saw me in the chat room, and he was like, you know what? Every time I get a new follower, I'm going to do the Joe Cam special. He got like 30 new follows that night, because every time someone would follow, he would bean a batter. He lost a game because he beaned so many batters.
Love it. Well, I remember making that. I remember asking Daniel, I was like, okay, we need bean balls for the different parts of the body with kind of unique responses. And I don't think there was it wasn't supposed to be the guy looks like he's just dead or something, but he came back with that and showed it to us. And we're like, wow. Okay, we can work with that.
It's just perfection.
It's great.
That and the umpire alone make that game worth every penny.
Yep.
So I want to personally thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Halfway out the door.
Yeah, I definitely needed to bring that up before we let you guys go. But we thank you for coming on. It has been a treat talking with you guys, and we hope you come back sometime.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
It's fun to come and talk about the game and some things that aren't the game once in a while. Mm-hmm. But not enough as it is. Cool, guys. I hope we can come back sometimes.
All right.
Absolutely.
And I will look forward to getting an email from you with music for the show.
Sounds good.
Yes. All right. Have a good one, guys.
Cheers.
Okay.
Right. Night.
Bye.
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 All right.
Cute.
Now that those assholes are gone.
Oh, no, we're still here.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
No, that's what they were saying. Now that those assholes
are
gone.
Now that we're away from those. Yeah, that was really fun, but for some reason we kept having a lot of dead air towards the end there.
Because I keep expecting Chris to go on about music.
You held yourself in check very well there, Chris, because you were a lot more excited like 2 weeks ago.
Well, here's the thing. I have noticed that I have a tendency to interrupt people a lot. So I'm trying to cut down on that, and I'm waiting. I'm waiting for opportune times for me to speak my piece.
Well, I have no choice. I interrupt you guys because I can't see you.
Yeah.
Anyhow, on to games.
On to games. I might as well hit up the last emails that we have.
Sure.
We have another one. They're both from people we've already talked from.
Okay.
That Christopher Ungeier, which I'm sure I'm still butchering that.
I'm not even gonna try it.
he says, "Hey, just listen to 129 and 30 today. Regarding Destiny, the Taken King, I was a day one player and got bored around that time that the DLC came out. The whole level cap based off of light was the thing that took me away from it. But with the Taken King, levels and light levels have changed so much it's made the game enjoyable for me again. Currently grinding for an achievement, but once I have that out of the way, it's time to focus on my main character. I'd give it a second chance or a first chance. The game feels refreshing after the Taken King release. No real comment on microtransaction other than bring them on. If they're cool, I'll buy something. If not, then I save money. Great show. Recommend any shows to catch up on." Because I believe this is the guy who won a contest from us.
Oh, okay.
One of the free games. And I'm like, hey, check us out sometime. And the dumb bastard did.
And the dumb bastard did.
Sucker.
As far as episodes, I have no clue.
I recommended basically everything that has Mike Micah and Adam Rippon in it.
Yeah, those are all good.
The World episode is still one of our best.
Which one?
End of the World episode?
Yeah, that one's pretty fantastic.
The Lonely Rolling Star one was good.
Yep. The Magfest Monster I'm still a fan of.
Yep.
I said to check out one of the early episodes just to see how much better we've become.
I gotta find which one was it where we did just after I did the PlayStation experience last summer. That was the most disappointed I've ever been on this show.
Oh God, I don't remember.
I don't know. I'm
5 hours at a convention center. My highlight was 5 minutes talking to Dale North.
Yeah, just use a random number generator and pick something. They're all gonna suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Another email.
The other email from Splink, this is another, he's given us like Zach emails.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Splink, are you off your meds again?
He says, email number two, should you choose to read it this week or another week, but I'm reading it now. So, hey, SML podcast, I'm just hopping in to provide my thoughts and experiences with Tesla Punk and Crimson Land, two of the games you have and will be talking about. First off, we have Tesla Punk. Yeah, I'm not too sure what to say about this one. The game is weird. It's like most other top-down space shooters, and it's addictive in those regards, and the cutout JPEG of Tesla doing all the talking is certainly a weird touch, even when he occasionally comes back with a mohawk hairstyle or sunglasses. So goddamn weird. I also don't know if it was just my Xbox being weird or if it was the game itself, but is there any sound in the game? Yes. Yes, there is. There's also a soundtrack, which is awesome. So, something fucked up on your end. I had played Crimson Land immediately after Tesla Punk, and that had sound, but I was just sitting there in silence during Tesla Punk. It was kind of an awkward experience. I haven't beaten the game yet, probably because I chose hard difficulty right off the bat, and then got the shit kicked out of me on the second level. But I have to say that the OCD achievement definitely motivates me to complete it. Seriously, what kind of sadistic bastard makes a one-point achievement? It's certainly incentive, though. I don't necessarily know if that's a good thing. The other game, Crimson Land, provide a much greater experience than the previous title. For starters, there was sound, as previously mentioned. That's always a great start. The best way I could describe Crimson Land would be an addictive twin-stick shooter in the same vein as Smash TV, which instantly means that it will consume my soul and the remainder of my time until I eventually and inevitably overdose on it.
Truth. I'm the same way right now.
With Crimson Land?
Yes.
Yeah. That short summary really does justice to my feelings on the game. It's an absolute blast. I can only imagine the chaos and enjoyment that I would get from having a full four-party survival game. Plus, the cover art for the game is basically the cover of Doom, which earns it bonus points in my book. And yeah, it's basically a twin stick shooter version of Doom, and it deserves your money. Yes, you, you listener. As for my tangent question, what is your opinion on losing save data in a game? For me, it's only happened 3 times in my memory of gaming life. The first was when I was a young lad playing Phantasy Star Online on my GameCube. I don't remember the circumstances around me panicking to remove my memory card in fear of losing my character, but I lost my character solely because I removed my memory card. I was a dumb kid, what can I say? But the reason I ask is because the 2 other times I've been But the reason I ask is because the other 2 times have been recently and due to circumstances I cannot explain. It happened a few months ago. Oh my God, you moved the microphone so much.
I'm fidgety.
I know, and it. I heard it all episode of just... It happened a few months ago when I was playing Never Alone, the game where you play as an Eskimo child and her ghost wolf. The game never crashed and my Xbox never lost power or quit during a crucial save point or similar moment. Instead, I had quit properly and came back the next day to find my save data had been reverted back to the second level. If you've never played a game as frustrating as Never Alone, then you would understand why this is so frustrating. If you haven't played Never Alone, then imagine spending 4 hours of your life trying to guide a mentally deficient and possibly handicapped child through the frozen tundra while your ghost wolf decides it wants to keep trying to work on its backstroke by jumping off the map. But then you can switch to play as the ghost wolf, which by pure logic should have been your first choice anyway, since who doesn't want to play a game as a ghost wolf, making the gameplay significantly more fun. But by doing this, the computer takes over the Eskimo girl, who immediately becomes depressed about having to live in such shitty fucking weather and getting chased by polar bear, and then takes her own life at every possible opportunity. I mean, I can't blame her, because who wants to live in the tundra? Christ, I already want to shake whatever jackass has decided to settle in Buffalo hundreds of years ago, so I can't even imagine living like the girl in Never Alone. To bring it all around, imagine doing that for 4 hours of your life before quitting the game for the night and coming back the next day to finish the game only to realize that your previous day's progress did not save. Needless to say, I have not actually gone back and beaten Never Alone. The final instance of a game losing its save or not saving properly was actually with Extreme Exorcism from a few weeks back. 2 days worth of progress through the castle were lost without explanation. That being said, Extreme Exorcism is addicting as hell and is so much better than Never Alone, so I didn't mind this much. Has this ever happened to you guys? If so, with what game and how frustrated were you? Thank you, gentlemen, again, Sean.
There's times when I'll forget to save in the game and lose, you know, an hour or 2 hours. But very rare does a game not make my save, and it really depends on if I like the game. Like, Plague Inc. lost all of my, I beat the game with every plague except the last one, and I got out of it to watch a video, and then I went back into it because I'm like, oh, I'm not done for the night, and it had only recorded that I beat it with the first bacteria.
Oh.
But I like Plague Inc., so I restarted all of it. But if it's a game I'm only mad about, or a game that I'm just playing, yeah, if it doesn't save a significant amount of data, it's a game breaker and I'm done.
Damn.
My answer is, if I like the game, I'll soldier on again, but if I don't like it, oh hey, it didn't save my 4 hours. Well, fuck it, I'm done with this game.
The only game that I ever played in extended time and lost progress on was the first Risen title. And I didn't realize that there was, like, no autosave in the game because, you know, the 360, by then, games had autosaves, especially long role-playing games. And so I didn't manually save it that frequently. Apparently, I died and lost, like, 2.5 hours of progress, and I haven't played it since. But I've never had shit just accidentally delete on me.
I think I might have brought this up on a previous episode before, but, Dead Rising 2 on the 360. I was towards the end of the game. There's some mission where you have to carry an injured woman from one portion of the map to the other, and you have to go outside, where the majority of the zombies and stuff are. But you're carrying the chick the whole time, so you can't, like, sprint. Like, you're you're encumbered, I guess, by carrying her.
Yeah.
So, for whatever reason, my save file got fucked up where it saved at a certain portion of that mission, not at the mission's complete, at its completion, but when you start to run through the outdoor area where there's a bunch of zombies. For whatever reason, when it met, like when it saved that save portion, it thought that I was outside of the main mission where I was carrying this chick. And when I ran through the certain section that you have to go through to get to the end, it would trigger a cutscene for another mission, in the middle of it. And there's this guy that was essentially like a sniper on the top of a building. And you're supposed to figure out a way to kill the sniper before he kills you in this mission.
Yeah.
But I'm already in the middle of the other mission where I'm carrying this chick. So now there's a sniper on a roof trying to pick me off. And instead of me being able to kind of like dance around and dodge his shots, because I'm carrying this chick, I would just get smoked every single time and I couldn't progress in the game.
Wow.
So I straight up, and it was towards the end. So I'm like, although I love this game and I'm really enjoying it, I am not starting all the way from the fucking beginning again. And I just let it go and never went back.
Ouch.
Yeah, I didn't have that kind of hiccup, but yeah, definitely with games where there is no autosave, I didn't grow up with RPGs, so I never learned to save every chance you got.
Right.
So there's a bunch of games in the original Xbox world. I'm sure I could remember them if I thought hard enough. But there were a lot of games in the original Xbox where I didn't save and got 2-3 hours in and died and then realized, oh, nothing auto-saved.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good.
I've had a couple different games. I did the same thing. I'd get to a certain point and I'd just be like, oh my god, fuck this. Actually, Unity did it to me. I was playing it, and it was in the beginning when it was still having like a lot of its hiccups. So I played something and I manually saved it because I knew that there was stuff going wrong with it, and it deleted my manual save and reverted me back to a previous portion.
Oh, balls.
Yeah.
Now that's fucked up.
But
so yeah, so since we're talking about Crimson Land in that email,
I was gonna say it is now time for our SML review section, presented by four different games this week.
So many games
presented by four dicks.
Yes. First off is Crimson Land by 10 Tons Limited. The game is available now. It's been out on PlayStation, but it is now available for the Xbox One for $13.99. It also has a launch discount of $11.89, and 10 Tons was gracious enough to give us a handful of copies of the game. So, thoughts, gentlemen?
If a top-down shooter is your kind of game, then you need to get this one. Even I enjoyed it. I made it 6 whole levels before I died. I was very impressed. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's, you got to stream enemies, you got to kill them, get weapons upgrades, and you kill enough of them, you go to the next level. It's really simple, but it can definitely be addictive if you're into this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think how it was mentioned earlier about Smash TV, like those twin stick shooter kind of setups, like you can dump so many hours into those games. And what I like about this is the fact that like I've been going through and doing like the campaign mode. Because every single time when you go through it, if you complete it with a certain, like, you know, if you don't take damage or whatnot, you'll unlock, like, new perks and
new perks, new weapons.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I like that the weapons don't open in order either.
No, they're completely random.
Yeah.
But you have to also, it's random from the ones that you've unlocked. So the more and more that you play through the game, you unlock more weapons. Because I remember I got like a flamethrower or something crazy and like a rocket
launcher.
I got
like a pulse rifle in the third round.
Yeah, it's like there's the weapons are very different enough that it makes sense to actually play through it and unlock them all.
Yeah, and try them all because like you might what was the one I got like a fucking rail gun. And it's slow to shoot, but I shot and it went through like 14
zombies.
It goes through the
whole screen or something.
Yeah, oh, right now the shotgun is my savior because my aim is shit.
Yeah, the shotgun's the shit. Actually, I think it's the pulse rifle. It kind of almost acts like a shotgun.
Yeah, I'd say it's like half the railgun. It'll travel like half the screen and kill any enemies it hits.
Right.
Well, but you still like the big guys that start coming. There's still two or three hits. But that beats the hell out of a big guy coming at you with a pistol. It's like, pew, 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 pew.
Truth.
How would you die?
Truth. No, I like the perk system, too. I really like the perk system. There's some pretty interesting ones in there.
Yeah, when you level up, it gives you, you know, three random things that you could pick from.
Yeah, it depends on the level that you're on. Because yeah. I think once you hit a certain level, it'll give you, like, I was getting, like, four. Or five. It depends.
I guess I didn't even level up.
Well, if you were playing survival, I don't think that's in survival.
No, I just played story mode.
Yeah.
I think there's actually a way to turn the perks on or off in the campaign.
Maybe.
I think.
But I just love the different perks that there are.
Yep. No, I'm digging it. I actually have, that's been my go-to, like, sit down, I'm just going to futz around for a little bit game.
And it's a good game to just sit down and futz around for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you could still, like, it's one of those types of games that you could still, like, sit and casually play while still focusing on something else.
Yeah. This game follows in the long tradition of games that have originally come out on PlayStation, and I picked them up on PlayStation and enjoyed them, but barely touched them because they're on PlayStation, and then they've come to Xbox, and I can't put them down. Games like Rogue Legacy, and there's so goddamn many. SteamWorld Dig's another one.
I think I'm gonna finally bite the bullet and start, like, I still haven't spent any of that credit that I had on my account. So I think I'm finally just gonna pull the trigger and probably get myself, like, Shovel Knight or something like that.
Nice. Well, another game you could pick up is Laser Life from Choice Provisions.
Was that rhythm game?
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched a video play of it, and the guy was pretty much like, it's not a hard game, but it's meant to be beaten in one sitting.
Yeah, it's very much designed to be beaten in a sitting and replayed and just try improving your scores, getting all the stars. Dant Rambo was nice enough to send me a code for it. Unfortunately, they could only send one. So fuck you two, I got it.
I think you enjoyed it more than I would have.
Yeah, it is $14.99 right now, on sale at launch for $13.49, so a nice discount there. The game is just crazy. I can't really explain the story. You're dead and you're trying to recover memories. It just kind of thrusts you into it, and it's a twin stick rhythm game where there's three different sections. The first one, there are orbs that can appear at the top and bottom of each side, and as you pass through them with the little two beams of light you're controlling with the analog sticks, you have to hit the triggers to collect them. Those are your memories. And then the second stage is there are little discs that you have to go through where instead of aiming for the corners, it's basically just up and down. And from so far I've seen, there's up, down, and middle, and you have to just pass through them, and all of it is to the music. The third stage, you have to journey through a tunnel and not hit the walls, which can appear, you know, any of the directions, and you have to guide both sticks through the tunnel. And then the last one is just, I guess, returning the memories to you where you,
You pleasure,
wiggle the sticks.
You pleasure the nipples of your controller.
Yes,
basically
just rub them down.
You just rub them circular.
When I saw the trailer for the game and I saw the skeleton in the spacesuit, all I could think of though was the animation company that does Venture Brothers, because that's the three undead skeletons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you just look at screenshots from the game, you're not going to have a fucking idea.
No, it's going to make no...
I watched gameplay, you know, but... Now, one, I didn't see much of the gameplay because the only video I could find of it that was good quality was the guy talked the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the kind of game where you want someone talking over it.
Not at all, because the music is so fucking good.
Yeah, the music was really good in it.
I'm going to have to try picking up the soundtrack to play sometime, because it is... hella good.
But, hella good.
the game is out now. Oh, we never gave thumbs up or thumbs down on Crimson Land, although I think that was a unanimous thumbs up.
I go thumbs up.
Laser Life, I give a hearty thumbs up. If you like rhythm games, this is a must own.
Absolute I liked it.
Must own.
I liked it. I would give I would give it a thumbs up.
An opinion.
Yeah, you need to actually like see gameplay before you make any kind of judgment, because the screenshots will not do it justice at all.
No, the screenshots, it won't make a lot of sense. Well, but then when you play it, it will make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Next game is called Rock and Racing Off-Road DX from Enjoy Up Games.
This is a Nintendo Wii exclusive?
No, it's on the Xbox One.
Okay. I only saw the Wii footage.
It's basically the same thing. It's only $7.99. Launch discount is $6.39. So it's not pricey at all. It's okay.
Yeah, you know, honestly, watching gameplay footage of this one made me not want to play it. Maybe it's just the camera. Maybe it's that overhead camera style where it just everything's far away and not quite cartoony, but not quite realistic. It's just this half unimpressive in between design.
See, for me, it scratches that itch that we talked about a week or two ago about super off-road racing, like Stewart off-road racing. It's basically that game. The visuals are nice. I like the, you know, the graphics are nice. Lighting is good. The handling is tricky at first. Like the vehicles have a really wide turn radius, but playing around with the handbrake, you get some good drifts going on. The physics feel really good, actually. Some of the turns and jumps will throw you off, but it kind of it makes sense.
Okay.
Like, it's not a scripted jump animation. It feels like there's actual physics in play. The game is just incredibly bare bones. Like,
yeah, I can definitely see that from what I saw.
There's not an options menu.
What?
Like, the music was stupidly loud in the game. I couldn't turn it off. I couldn't adjust the audio. There's no options. There's no screen that shows you the controls.
Yeah, I'm sorry. In this day and age, I mean, I know it's only an $8 game, but come on.
I don't want to rag on it too much because it was an entertaining game. It's just missing a lot of basic stuff that should be there. Like, just
you should be able to. I'm sorry, you should be able to toggle the effects off and on, or the music off and on.
I honestly wish I could turn the announcer off because he got annoying very quick.
And he's taking another left turn. Oh, look at that left turn.
It's just like one-liners that's just, eh.
It's not iDarb quality?
It's not Mike.
It is not Bob Baffy.
Oh, yeah.
Shooting out one-liners. The game has, what is it? Six different cups that you could go through, five or six. Each one has four different races. All the tracks are unique that I've seen so far. There's also time trials that you can do for each of them. There's no story. Like, you go through a cup and then the credits roll and then you're back to the main menu.
So, like, a la Mario Kart kind of.
It's just incredibly basic. Again, it's only $8. It's not a huge price tag. Just know that you're not getting a full featured game. It does support 8 players, though.
Well,
local 8 players. There's actually an achievement for having a 6 player game, which luckily I have enough controllers to trigger that.
I was just about to ask how many controllers you have.
Technically right now I think I still have 7 because the one is in the box that with Kunal system that he hasn't picked up yet.
Yeah.
Kunal.
All right, so what do you give it?
I'm kind of staying in the middle there. It's if you have
one
the
thumb
money
sideways.
Yeah, it's a sideways thumb. If you have the money for it, it's burning a hole in your pocket and you want an off-road like old school Ivan Stewart off-road racing, pick it up. If you don't have that itch, you're probably not going to dig it. Like,
I haven't, honestly, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I haven't even seen it.
Yeah.
I wasn't around much, so.
It's hard to recommend, but there are people out there who are going to have an absolute blast with it. Cause it's, like I said, gameplay wise, it's a fun game. It's fun off-road, old school gaming, and it looks good. It's just very bare bones.
All right. And last game.
Last one is Brickwood Mini from Game Troopers for the Windows Phone.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I Googled it. I looked at footage, and this is Where's My Water with no graphics.
I've never played Where's My Water, so I don't know.
I don't know what that is either.
It take Brickwood and give it actual graphics, and it's Where's My Water, which came out preloaded on my Windows Phone, Joe, so I'm surprised you've never played it. It came preloaded on this phone and the one I got 2 years ago.
Okay, well, what's the gameplay like in Where's My Water?
You get rid of dirt so that water can go up into a shower so an alligator can take a shower.
That doesn't sound at all like this.
This game is you get rid of bricks to move water.
I don't know. I guess I would have to play Where's My Water.
I don't know either game that you're talking about.
Basically, this one, there's going to be water that's blocked off somewhere with bricks, and you have to get water into like lined off areas. Okay. And a lot of it deals not only with destroying bricks to let the water flow, but turning the phone in all four directions, upside down, left, right, to make the water flow in certain directions.
Yeah, now that is different. I'll definitely give it that.
Yeah, it definitely requires a lot of thought. I want to give massive props to Game Troopers because they're actually putting out Xbox-enabled Windows Phone games. The game's only $3. There are a stupid amount of levels. The levels get hard quick. Like, it's definitely a thing. This is not a Disney make a crocodile take a shower game. This is a thinking puzzle game. Like, this is hardcore puzzle game to actually get the most out of it. Pappy, hardcore. I think you would actually enjoy it if you played it.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt it. I personally couldn't help but draw the parallels.
Well, drop the $3 and pick it up, you cheap bitch.
Suck my dick.
I'm not going to give a verdict on it because I have not put nearly enough time into it yet, but In Exile Entertainment was awesome enough to send me a code for Wasteland 2 Director's Cut, which came out this week for the Xbox One. It is a top-down tactical strategy RPG with very real-time exploration.
That sounds about right.
So Fallout 2?
Fallout 2.5.
Yeah, it's a... Fallout was a spiritual successor to Wasteland, and since after Fallout 2, things kind of went completely first person with Fallout 3, Wasteland 2 picks up where Fallout 2, gameplay-wise, left off. Running around and exploring different maps and areas feels like Diablo. And when Chris saw me running around, he's like, ooh, this looks pretty good. And then when you come into enemies, it switches to grid-based tactical RPG.
And that's where I went.
And that's where Chris is like,
I'm out.
No.
That's what destroyed me. I never beat the boss in the first Fallout. I never powered up enough to beat that fucking mutant.
Well, thankfully, Wasteland 2 has difficulty settings. Character creation is insane with the different options and perks you could pick. The game seems stupidly huge. There's no way I can make a verdict on it. I even said chances are we would talk about it next week. I just wanted to say that it's out now. It's $40. If you like RPGs, if you're looking for something to scratch that Fallout itch because it's not out yet.
If your name is Rez.
Yeah, if your name,
is Rez.
Rez has been losing his fucking mind over it because Wasteland 2 has been out on PC for a while. This is the enhanced graphics, added content, added voice acting, director's cut of the game.
Sure.
And it is baller.
Yeah, I don't know. I might check it out. I'm still playing a lot of Dragon Age to kill time.
Red box it and try it, at the very least.
So, yeah, speaking of games, what are you playing, Joe?
I just named pretty much everything.
All right, I'm playing other things.
What are you playing, Pappy?
Finally played the high-level DLC in Dragon Age.
Did you die?
Tough. No, I did not die, but yeah, I'm down finding out the course of the earthquakes, the cause of the earthquakes, and you're right, man. Like, I haven't gotten to the final level, but I got to the midpoint, and it was a slog. It was, hey, kill these two ogres. Oh, hey, you're almost done. Cool. Well, here's an alpha, and they're all fighting you now. Oh, and infinite mini enemies coming at you. At one point, and this is where I'm glad that I built my last build was the almost unkillable character, because I spent a good 5 minutes of that encounter resurrecting my three allies. Just running in circles, resurrecting them. Like, fucking distract them, motherfuckers. I need to do something.
Oh, God.
But other than the slog, it's still a lot of fun. And I played a game that you sent me there, Joe.
Which one?
Yeah, the Ninja Pizza Girl.
Yeah, I cannot get that game to work.
I am enjoying it more than I thought I would. Honestly, it's a runner, you know, but it's like, I don't know. It's just a lot of fun. You run and you jump and you collect things and you deliver pizza and you collect money to buy yourself new outfits or bubble baths and video games because you're a teenage girl. And, it's got a good story, easy levels. I did have to drop the difficulty in level 2 because I'm me and I suck.
Yeah.
Because every single level is time, you know, so yeah. But it's fun, man, and finding new paths. There's just a shit ton of paths in every level, so you can really it's really replayable. You have to replay it to collect all the hidden stuff. But the music is pretty badass too. You get this little whirlwind thing, and the music goes like straight dubstep in the early levels. And you just feel kind of badass, leaping off of shit, breaking through planks, and kicking the ninja pizza delivery guys from the evil corporation. You slide kick them, or else they'll push you and call you a noob and a loser.
Yeah, the game looks so fun. It won't load for me on Steam. It just says preparing to launch and then nothing.
And the little cutscenes, they've got really, really well done animation, little characters that pop up, you know, off the sides to talk to each other. My only complaint about the whole game at all is that when your character is standing still, she looks like a hunchback. She looks like the saddest teenager. Her head is just all sloped down, and she's just sad. And other than that little animation quibble, I thought I was just going to play it for like 20 minutes and come back to you and be like, yeah, I played it. But I put time in that game 3 out of the last 4 nights.
Well, you want some good news, Pappy?
Yeah.
You can talk to the guy next week, because Jason Stark, the creator of the game, is going to be on our show next week.
Ooh. Maybe and this is amazing, Joe. I might even beat it by then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully some people can actually get to play the goddamn game, since I can't. And I don't know why.
Your PC is too old.
No, it runs plenty of game. It's just in Steam. It won't launch. I tried uninstalling it, reinstalling it, rebooting. I uninstalled Steam. And reinstalled Steam. Just nothing's fucking working.
Yeah. Contact Steam at that point. You got another issue.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell the problem is. So, Chris, what are you playing?
I haven't had time to really play anything.
The drums.
Yeah, yeah. I've been playing drums.
That's Rock Band with me.
Yeah, we played some Rock Band.
So much Rock Band.
Yeah, Rock Band's fun. I played, I can't even remember the name of it now. We just talked about it. The Twin Stick Shooter.
Crimson Land.
So, I played that a little bit. I tell you what I am looking forward to trying to play as soon as this, my 4-day show weekend is over. Battlefield Hardline is now on EA Access.
Yes, it is.
I paid full money for it, and I want my money back.
Well... Now that I get it for free, I'll play it with you.
Shit. No, you play it and tell me if you like it, and then we'll decide if we want to play together.
Okay.
Because I put 4 hours in that game, and it was 2.5 hours of fucking cutscenes, dude.
Wow.
Well, I mean, if I played it, I'd probably just do the multiplayer.
Okay, that's fair. Well, no, but there's a lot of shit going on. You almost need to play the story mode just to learn all your 5 billion goddamn gadgets.
Jeez.
Okay.
Point to this, adds this window to listen in. Now use your heat detection to find this guy. Now sneak up behind him and arrest him. Oh, you arrested him, but his buddies are shooting your face off.
So you guys want to hear something crazy?
What?
We went through some codes lately.
Yeah?
Yeah. We still have Ascendant, Zombie Vikings, and Hyper Void for the PS4, as well as one remaining code of Beat Buddy, and we are down to 3 copies of Lovers in a Dangerous Spacetime on Steam. But do you want to hear our Xbox One lineup right now?
Yes.
Yes.
We have 1 copy of Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. We have 1 remaining copy of Fat City. We have 1 remaining copy of Super Mega Baseball, which people can get if they email us. And then we have 1 brand new copy of a game to give away.
Yeah.
Plague Inc.
Oh, son of a bitch.
I have been trying to get the creator of Plague Inc. on the show for a few weeks now. Unfortunately, he is way too busy, but to make up for it, he gave us a free copy of the game to give away.
Hell yeah.
So,
right, I'm going to spread the word, motherfucker.
So you just,
fun.
You people know the drill. Email us.
Email the show.
Yeah. The SML podcast.
We'll be tweeting this out too. I mean, because Plague Inc. is totally, the Xbox version is all the things you want in a game where you murder the planet, not the universe.
And then, a special treat, we have 2 more games to give away, and I'm doing this old school style.
You're reading them?
Yes.
You bastard.
They are 2 games for the Wii U, Paper Monsters Recut and Blocky Bot from Mobot Studios. We only got 1 of each, so to be fair, I'm just going to read these off right now.
But why? Why?
Because it's fun that way, and we haven't done that in a while.
There's a reason.
Why, do you want them?
No, but that if we read them out, then we won't know when they're redeemed. If we keep them in the list and we send them out to someone, then we'll know when we get rid of them.
We'll know if they're redeemed or not when Zach tries to redeem them and he tells us.
But that's not fair to everybody.
Why not?
Just email us. Email us at the SML podcast at gmail.com.
That's how you could get all the other games.
Oh, compromise. Email us for those Wii codes this week. If no one emails us, we read them out next week.
Nope. I made the call on this.
No, it's 3 people, man. 2 against 1.
It's my show.
Oh, it's our show.
Oh.
I'm the fattest one here, so I take up multiple votes.
You get 1.5 votes, you still lose.
I've been here for every episode.
Well, because you helped start it.
We get a vote for each episode we've been on. How about that?
I think Chris and I might still outnumber you if we just...
Yeah, that's totally true.
I don't
true.
Think so, because how many episodes have you guys not been on that are interview episodes?
That's cheap.
That's still... I still think we would win.
I don't think so. So, Paper Monsters Recut, Asshole 068, Titty Pop Fat Ass.
Are fat ass and asshole compound words?
Asshole is 1 word, fat ass is 2 separate words.
Okay.
Okay, fat ass.
Now you're just making it worse. Now you're just confusing me more.
Okay, F-A, how about that?
Start from
fucking
the beginning.
Fucking A.
Start from the beginning.
Asshole 068. Titty pop fucking A. 0 tight boner.
Tight boner.
25 free Jimmy John's.
This Jimmy John's 1 word?
No, it's the
2 J's.
Sub place, JJ.
Yeah. It's not, I'm not sure I would even eat free Jimmy John's.
Don't tell Brock Lesnar.
I won't, I promise.
And then Blocky Bot, we have Asshole 08. No Refund 7. Junior Hippo G. Great Ribeye, Queef, Yellow, Labia, 4 Voltron.
All right, I do like the Yellow Labia, 4 Voltron.
I've missed doing them.
I know you have.
I have missed doing them. We're giving away codes for how many other things via email? I made the executive decision.
Make them for the emails. When people get the code, just have the code go vertical and send them the code where the first letter of everything.
Dude, that takes so much work.
Yeah, no, the code was like some 10-year-old and mom sees the email. It's like, why is this person sending my son titty fuck?
That takes so much work. But
anyhow.
Fuck
but yeah,
Yellow Plague Labia Inc. for Voltron.
Plague Inc., Super Mega Baseball, Fat City, and Guns Gore and Cannoli are all up for grabs for the Xbox One still. So I got to use email.
I'm going to email in and get that fucking baseball game.
Well, then email us.
I will.
And there you go.
Hey, you won't be here next week, right?
I don't know.
Email in the show. Hey, guys, I'm not here, but here's my email. Now give me my code.
Give me the goddamn code.
Give me the fucking code.
All right, music this week. As long as we get it from them, Super Baseball music. If not, I'll figure something out. Super Mega Baseball. Hey, Pappy, what's the football score?
14-7. And guess who the 14 is?
The Saints?
I'm sorry, 17-7. Saints are winning 17-7.
Holy shit. How much time is left?
It's 7 minutes left in the third quarter.
Okay, good. I could still watch football then.
Yes.
Hugga chugga football.
So, final words for the week. I'm going to go watch football.
Sean, proofread.
What?
The final word, Sean, proofread.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Because he had that
Explain.
Typo.
Proofread. How's that?
I'm going to watch Chris. Football.
We'll be right back.
Hugga chugga football.